All right, Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Tonight we're going to learn something. Don't you love when, I remember in high school or junior high, you'd come in and there was the AV cart, right, with the TV strapped to the cart, and you're like, yes, I don't care what it is, we're watching a movie. We're about to be taught a different way. And you know, sometimes the Lord did that. He would take things that were just out and about and around, and he would teach a lesson. And say, is your lesson water? Nope, just in case I get thirsty. That has nothing to do with the message. And tonight, so the Lord's going to use a coin, to teach a lesson. All right, lesson from a coin tonight. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 15. We're going to read the entire passage, dissect it apart, add a little bit, and be done. I say half hour. Half hour, can you give me 30 minutes? Yeah, stop. Stop. Just for that. We'll go for the extended version. All right, sounds good. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. I love the plan. I'm sorry. Here, let's get back to the passage. We'll read the entire passage again, dissect the passage, and then add something to it. Go to a different place. And they sent unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness, he says, and said, Why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought him unto him a penny. And he said unto them, Whose is this image and superscription? And they said, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's. When they heard these things, they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to have service. God, many places still throughout the country have yet to return. Lord, I'm thankful for the place that we live, that we can have a church service that, Lord, our desire is to honor and glorify you, worship you. In no way is it to just be belligerent against our local government, but Lord, truly to worship you. God, I pray that as we gather here together tonight, that would be no different. That you'd see our hearts tonight, pure hearts, desirous to worship you. Lord, I pray that you'd teach us something from this passage. Use this passage in a mighty way. Help us to see it maybe in a way we've never seen before. God, that we would know that you're real and your presence is with us. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says, Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. What a flawed plan. The Pharisees come up with this idea. We're having a hard time laying hands on him, so let's trick him in his speech. Their plan was not only that they weren't going to do it because they were tired of being made fun of. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to send the young disciples out, and we're going to pair up with, the Bible says in verse 16, with the Herodians. Now, a word in the Herodians is probably stands out. What did the Herodians believe? Well, they certainly followed. They were a political group under Herod. So they were less religious, more publicly political party. Probably had some clout, probably had some a way with the people. Normally, the enemies of the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the ones that kept the law, and the Herodians were that of under Rome, but, well, they had a common enemy, so we can put those things aside. Normally, I don't really root for the Red Sox, but if the Red Sox are playing the Yankees, go Red Sox. That's, you know, then we have a common enemy. They had a common enemy, the Herodians and the Pharisees, that it was Jesus. Look at how they address him. Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God and truth. Remember Brother Spurgeon, he said this, be careful when someone tells you what exactly you want to hear. They have an agenda. They have a plan. They're trying to get something out of you. You know, so many times, maybe even the devil himself or the temptations of the flesh will numb us to the trouble we're about to step into by telling us how wonderful and good we are. Hey, be careful that you not seek counsel or help necessarily from people that just tell you how wonderful and good you are. My sister-in-law just wrote a book. She published a book, and not necessarily my style of writing. It's she's a Christian, so it's a clean book, but it's got it's like a fantasy, and that's not really my thing. But we were talking with her the other day, and she says, I asked her about the reviews. Are you getting reviews? And she's like, they're coming back great. She goes, I really wish someone would give me a bad review so I could just get some truth out of it. If people are just always constantly pampering you and telling you all the good things that you do, well, we know that that's not true. And that's what's happening here. They're coming to him and they're trying to set him up, maybe let his guard down, catch him on his words. Remember that they might entangle him in his talk. They're trying to entangle Jesus in his talk. They're trying to entangle the one that went up into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights without food and then tempted of the devil himself, trying to entangle that one in his talk. Jesus isn't as weak as they are. Ever have anybody, I don't know what the phrase is, but push your buttons? Maybe there's a topic that's near and dear to you. I went up to Brother Rice and said, Brother Rice, I think it'd be a good idea if we had some stricter gun laws. Go to Mr. Parrott and say, Mr. Parrott, I do believe that theistic evolution is a possibility. Beep. Pushing people's buttons. Right? We all have buttons to push. And here a group of people come to Christ and they try and push his buttons. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? What a great question. It's a good idea to pay taxes or not? Are we supposed to pay our taxes? Now, I don't know what the trip up is. Maybe there's a group of people that didn't believe in paying taxes. That's not legal. Do you know what happens if you don't pay your taxes? You go to jail. You say, do you think that's right? Yes, I think that's right. I think you should go to jail if you don't pay your taxes. And Jesus reinforced that. This passage has been brought up quite a bit lately just because of the collision between government and God. This passage has been gone to quite a bit lately. I've read, I have some friends in the ministry, and they'll send me a commentary about this passage. Hey, what do you think about this? Do you think it's applicable? Do you think, where does this fit in today, and how does this all fit? Well, Jesus perceived their wickedness. He said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? So they're trying to tempt him, and he says, here, bring me a coin. I love this, right? And he shows them the coin right in front of him. Maybe it wasn't that big. Maybe it was that big. It's a penny, right? Somehow they got the picture of somebody on this penny. He says, whose face is on that? And they said, Caesar. And he goes, all right, don't you think we should give to Caesar what is Caesar's and then give to God what is God's? They said unto him, Caesar. Then he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's and unto God the things which are God's. And the Bible says, when they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. Their question is, do we pay taxes? Should we give tribute to a government that we do not agree with? That was the question. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. This is a kind of a parallel passage to this. This is not a political message in any way. And we're just going to touch on this, read this passage real quick. And we're going to quickly move past this. We're going to get into the spiritual side of this passage. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God." Why do I obey my government? Because I love God and I'm a servant of God, and God placed those people over me. That's why I go approximately 55 miles an hour up to this spot, and then it switches over to 40. That's why I stop at traffic lights. That's why when I go to Wegmans, I don't just push my cart through, or Walmart, through the little self-checkout and steal all their stuff. That's why I obey the laws. Say, why? Because I'm a servant of God. The Bible says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Settled. Do I have to obey my government? Well, according to God, yes. But what happens when, well, let me ask you this. The only problem is when we render, go back to Matthew chapter 22. And here's our conflict. They say unto him, Caesar's, right? Whose image is on this? Whose superscription? And they said, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's. Boom. But there's more. And unto God, which are the things that are God's. The problem is when we render things to others or ourselves that belong to God. Do you see that? Do you see the conflict now? When I go to the store and I, you know, my kids, sometimes they'll get a couple dollars and they'll go to the store and immediately, you know, that I know something's up when they're like, Dad, can we go to Wegmans, right? And we're walking through the aisle. I'm sure, we always can go to Wegmans. There's always something we need at Wegmans, Ms. Colby. So there we are at Wegmans, and they, sure enough, they bait me. Dad, can I get this? And my number one go-to, well, you don't have money. All of a sudden, whing, $2 come out of their pocket. And they're like, Dad, it's only $1.98 and I have $2. Oh, but let me introduce you to something. Tax! Those 10 pieces of gum have tax. And you have to pay taxes. So they're my 9-year-old is introduced to the federal government. Federal government, whose job is to oversee commerce, interstate and foreign. I don't have agreements with China. They set that up. The role of the federal government is to declare war, to set taxes, spending, and other national policies, to maintain order, public services, national and economic security. That's the role of the government. And that is not cheap. That is expensive. Therefore, we have taxes. So Jesus takes out a little coin, and he says, some of this belongs to somebody else. There's an image. Whose is this image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Answered their question. Satisfied. He has one more statement at the end. He says, and unto God the things which are God's. Jesus is taking the conversation one step further. But unfortunately, in verse 22, we read these sad words. When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. They only got the first half of the lesson. They only got the Render unto Caesar, Caesar's, because that was their question. But Christ was going one step further. He was about to make personal application to them. He does it so well all the time. Remember the rich young ruler? Mark chapter 10, quickly. Mark chapter 10. In verse 17. When he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeling to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I obtained or observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." And the Bible says, and he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Much like this same group here, they went away too early. You know, God is working in our life. He's doing something to draw us unto him. Maybe it's a question even, maybe the Herodians even had that very question about how much do we give Caesar? How much do we give? Are we supposed to keep it all for ourselves? Are we unruly taken over? What should we do? Maybe that was their initial question. And you know, God used that and he said, "Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, and render unto God that which is God's." And he was taking the conversation one step further, but they stopped halfway and only got half the blessing. And sometimes God is doing something in our life, and we start getting a little close to the Lord. We start getting, Jacob, can you come stand here for a second? Just stand right there. Look handsome that way. Okay, good. So he's drawing us, and Jacob's going to be our Jesus. And he's drawing us, and we get here, and we just get a little touch, and that's all I needed. But Christ has so much more for us. Hey, render unto Caesar. Yeah, you answered my question. I'm good. Wait, render unto God that which is God. All right, whatever. And they left way too early. He had another half a lesson had they just stood there for 1 minute. But we're so quick to get on to the next thing. God's working in your life. He's drawing you to him. You get to that point and then quick you get your answer and then you're out. But he's got so much more for you. What else is he trying to teach you? What is the next personal application? Thank you, Jacob. I appreciate that. You were very handsome. Is that a new suit? Okay, very good. He left before the Lord was finished. I wonder how many times we've opened up our Bibles or in prayer and we ended before the Lord was talking. Sometimes my children do that. They'll ask me a question. I have some instruction for them. I start telling them and they start leaving. Whoa. I am not done. Come back. Eyes back on me. Let's review. What have we decided so far? All right. And we get up. Okay. After that, you do this and that. And so many times we come to the Lord and the Lord gives us just a little bit of a taste to him and we're gone. And he's got more for us. They missed the second half of the lesson. Say, what's the second half of the lesson? Go to Genesis 1:27. This is neat. Genesis 1:27. Joe, can you read that nice and loud? Stand up so everyone can hear. Thanks. Genesis 1:27. Now listen to this. Stop. I want to remind you of a verse in Matthew 22. And Matthew 22 is going to connect to Genesis 1:27. Here we go. Ready? Genesis, or Matthew 22:20 says, "And he said unto them, whose is this image and superscription?" Okay. Read that. Genesis 1:27. So God made us in His image. He takes a coin and He says, whose image is on that? He said, Caesar's. And they said, okay, render unto Caesar. Can I use you again? You're no longer Jesus, all right? Stay in here. According to Genesis 1:27, whose image is that? God's. Therefore, render unto God that which is God's. He doesn't belong to Him. Say, well, there was a fall. Listen, sin disfigured the image. It didn't destroy it. So how do you know? Because I saw what He showed up as. It complicated things severely. But the Bible says that man is created in the image of God. Say, does that mean God looks like? I don't know what that means. I'm just reading the Bible. And when He said this, he's about to teach them something great. I had a feeling. They were right on the edge of that. And He said unto them, whose is this image? And I could only think about Genesis 1:27. As we are created in the image of God. You can go sit down. Thank you. Yes, our coinage ought to have some weight in eternity. But He used the image that was on the coin to dictate who that gets used for. And then I look in the mirror and I'm created in the image of God, and it reminds me who have I been created to be used for. And the Herodians left too quick. They missed that. Say, is that the lesson that Christ was going to teach? I don't know. But it sure does seem to connect all that. James 3:9. Look at a couple verses, then we'll be done. James 3:9 says this, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Still. Colossians chapter 3, we're going to look at some verses here. Colossians chapter 3. And verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Sounds like our morning message, yes? Works of the flesh. For such things' sake, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now, ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. See, when we were lost, He gave us the list. And now, here's the list that sinners really, Christians really struggle with. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Look at now, verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. As a Christian, I have been given the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I look more like Christ than I ever have. Whose image is on there? Well, God's. Then render unto God's that which is God's. That's you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. 1 Corinthians 3:18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. We saw that yesterday. People don't understand why you're standing there holding the sign. Didn't make sense. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in His own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Look at now. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. Look at this last verse, 23. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Who owns me? Well, Christ does. And I ought to be yielded to Him. Look at Romans chapter 6. I know we're looking at a lot of verses, but these verses explain it. I feel like better than I could ever. Romans 6:11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in lust thereof. Look at verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of righteousness unto sin, but render unto God that which is God's. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members that are instruments of righteousness unto God. Hey, you want to not ask yourself this right now. Why am I on this earth? What is my purpose? It's to worship God. You've been created in God's image. And therefore, let's give to God what is God's. Say, what is God's? Me. And He can use me and you however He wants. We ought to render unto God that which is God's. Three ways. Number one, in our worship. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Familiar verse, yes? Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things. If you've been created by God, raise your hand. Good. Most of you. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things. That's you included. Put your name in there. For Thou hast created Nick Russo. And for Thy pleasure, they are and were created. You want to know why you're on this earth? It's to please God. You were made in His image, therefore, give to God what is His. Remember Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar builds this giant image. Remember that? And he says, all right, when the music plays, everybody in the entire nation bows before it and worships. And the music strikes up, and there's three guys that stand. They stood out. You can scan a crowd. And when everyone drops to the ground and there's three people standing, he gives them an opportunity. He says, maybe you didn't hear me right. Well, I'm going to give you a chance. We're going to play the music again. And they said, we're not bowing. We will worship only the God of heaven. And he says, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take you, and we're going to take you three boys, and we're going to throw you in that fiery furnace. By the time they get out of the fiery furnace with no singeing, no smell of smoke, the two guys that toss them in the fire die from the heat. Those three are in there. He says, who's that fourth man in there? Son of man. God with him. By chapter 4 and verse 1, he's publishing throughout all the nations that the God of Israel is the true and living God. Why? Because someone... See, people worship all the time, just not the living God. We worship ourselves, and here's our conflict again. The problem isn't government against God. The problem or the conflict is when God doesn't get what is due to Him and the government. See, God is due worship. And he's due worship from those that he created. And when anything else gets worship, that's not okay with him. John chapter 4. In verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him... look at verse 23. We didn't go to this verse this morning, right? I had it. I skipped it for tonight. John chapter 4 and verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. He wants your worship. Is he worthy of it? Yes. And anything else would be idolatry. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Render unto God that which is God's, the worship that he is due. Personally, I ought to worship the Lord. I ought to exalt the Lord. The words that come out of my mouth, I ought to exalt God. The verse that Hudson quoted tonight, Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. When we yield to him, we yield our worship and we yield our love. As people, we are created to love and be loved. And we will go a lot of different places looking for love. But there is no greater fulfillment and satisfaction of a human than to love God. To understand, to get in a relationship with the Lord and love him and experience his love for you. See, we'll go all over looking for the love of God only to come up empty. Again, we have been created to love, that's going out, and to be loved. And outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, you won't find anything close. See, the Lord teaches us how to love. I cannot properly love another person until I understand the love of God. Right? Isn't that the first commandment? Love the Lord and then love others. But how can I expect to love others when I don't love God? So, what do I need to do? I need to yield my love to God. Understanding his love for me. How much did God love me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God made a way for you to be forgiven of all your sin. And that's through Jesus Christ. What does he expect in return? Love. Is that not reasonable? It is. Yield to him worship. Yield to him love. Lastly, yield to him your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, last verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 19. Paul asks a question. It's a short question. What? Kind of like, are you crazy? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. See, God owns me. I'm his. For ye are bought with a price. And because of that, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It's funny, sometimes the kids will refer to their room in my house, Brother Rodell. It's my room. Well, it's my house, and that room's in my house, so technically everything in that room is mine. And sometimes we get a little out of sorts with the Lord, claiming possession on something that's not necessarily ours. Say, like what? Me? Sometimes I think that I own me. And you know what the Bible says? It says, render unto God that which is God's. Whose image is on that? That's God's image. For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Hey, you were created for a purpose. There's a reason you're here on this earth. And it's not for you. It's for God. And you'll experience conflict when you try and go against that. When you try and keep back that which is owed to God for yourself. You know what you'll be? You'll be miserable. Because you've been designed to worship Him. You've been created to be loved and to love Him. And He wants your life. And there is no greater joy, there is no greater satisfaction, and when we render to God that which is God's. The Herodians missed out. There was a lesson that Christ was going. He had a progression. We've seen those kinds of conversations with the woman at the well. Good thing she didn't run off with the water before He explained to her the living water. Well, the Herodians were there for one purpose, and God saw through their wickedness, and He called them hypocrites. And you know, maybe the Lord is drawing you to Him, getting your attention. Be careful that you not run away too quick. Be careful that you not get away from Him too quick before you hear all the lesson. Let's remember that we are God's. And to render unto God that which is God's. Let's all stand tonight. Maybe as you read Matthew 22 and you read about the Herodians and the coin, and you can think of yourself as that image. You think of yourself as how you fit in that. Make personal application. We'll pray and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank You for tonight.